Take a sigh. Blow the air out of your body. Breathe in. Say, and let the harmonics of your body merge into your heart. Breathe in one more time. And as you say, let the rampant thoughts, the stress, the things that drive your thoughts and conscious actions, release. Still yourself. Take a new breath. And as the weight of the day melts off your body, make room so that you can not only hear the words, but absorb what is about to be said. Today on Isologic Radio, we have a guest. He's had a most adventuresome life. His name is Russell Taggart.
My name is Russell Targ.
I'm sorry, Russell. And he is a physicist, an author, and a researcher who has traveled down a path that empirical science shakes its head at in amazement. He has opened the door to understanding not only the ideas of how lasers can improve our lives, but the application of the true value of the human consciousness, and how maybe we can move through our own space and time to understand how to affect our lives and maybe improve those lives of others. Russell holds a Bachelor of Science in Physics. He is a graduate from Queen's College, and he did his graduate work at the Columbia University. Russell has published a lot of papers on all forms of physics and research into psychic affairs. In 1972, his work moved to Stanford Research Institute. And the amazing thing is, it was funded by the Central Intelligence Agency. And all this stuff wasn't based on the hard science that we are taught in school, but it was focused on the ability for people to use their psychic skills. And so, after years of working with people like Indo Swan and many others, Russell has been able to put together a body of empirical evidence, science, that proves that we are much more than what we appear in our physical form. Russell was in charge of a research project that discussed and promoted and proved and taught the power of the human ability to do remote viewing. And from all of that, he has written a really amazing book. So if you have a pencil and pen, take and write this down. The name of his book is The Reality of ESP, A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Abilities. So, Russell, with all that said, I welcome you to Isologic Radio, and I hope that you can expand the ideas of our listeners who love our animals and are psychically aware. Hello, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much for the generous introduction. I'm very interested in psychic animals. Like many people, I have a couple of psychic cats that I live with. And we know
they're psychic
because as soon as you want to take them to the vet, they disappear. In fact, our local vet won't even take appointments anymore for a cat. They say, you just bring him in today sometime when you're able to catch him. Because vets know that as soon as the cat knows there's a veterinary appointment coming up, they go to their hiding places. You don't have to tell the cat, you just have to put it in the air, they're gone.
A lot of people have that problem when they go to move to a new home and the cat feels that energy of transition or change, and the next thing you know, you can't find your cat. So is there a relationship between how animals feel our intent and some of the work that you've done with remote viewing?
I think that we all participate in non-local awareness. That is, where there's more to us than our physical body. If you look in the mirror and think that what you see is who you are, then you're really in for a lot of suffering, because our awareness really transcends our mind and our body, and we're able to reside in this spacious awareness. This was known for millennia. The 8th century, a Buddhist teacher wrote a book called Self-Liberation Through Seeing with Naked Awareness. And he said that if your awareness is governed by what you read in the newspapers, and defending your story, and defending your ego from insults, you're going to have a life of suffering. But if you can quiet your mind and learn to move into the spacious realm, then you can reside in this timeless awareness and see into the distance, see into the future, heal the sick, and diagnose illness, and see the world as it really is. So that was all understood in the 8th century.
Yes, and it seems to be such a troubling discussion or conversation to have today in our world of it has to be factually proven. And so some of your adventures that I've read about have been very inspiring, because to present a conversation using the empirical fact, not just anecdotal experience, has really, really caused people to say, hey, there's a solid foundation for the psychic community to actually develop a better understanding with science so that we could maybe move forward. And we have just a few minutes before we go to break, but is there a short version that you can say or share about remote viewing? What is it about?
Remote viewing is our ability to quiet our minds and describe and experience what's going on in the distance or in the future. We can quiet our minds and see into the distance and see into the future. And you can learn to perfect that ability. As people get better and better with remote viewing, as they quiet their minds, and you can use this ability to find your car keys or find a parking place, make money in the silver market, or find out who you are.
Wow, that's pretty broad applications. But it's all based on the energy field or subspace field between all the different parts of who we are? Is that would be
well, it's really based on the idea that there's no separation between us and consciousness. Consciousness fills all of space and all of time. So it's really, I don't really have to go to Alabama to find you. What we know is that in consciousness, there's no separation at all.
Okay, well, with
some
that...
Some people find that exciting, other people find it alarming.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break here. You're listening to Esologic Radio, and we will be back in a few minutes. We're back. Settle yourself down and understand that we're talking about connection, the space between each one of us, and how we can maybe interact or understand our environment. Russell, can you go on with the explanation of what you're calling this connection, this broader consciousness?
Well, the things you can do with your mind are describe and experience what's going on in the distance or in the future. What you cannot do is call the playing card that's laid face down on the table. So the thing that we've learned, because the thing we've learned is that psychic abilities are non-analytic. The reading is an analytical ability. Reading is looking at the print on the table. Now, the print on the table does not actually have any meaning. We assign meaning to it, but it's actually just lines on paper. So to turn the lines on paper into something that's meaningful, you have to do analysis. Now, in the 1920s and 30s, J.B. Rhine at Duke University was doing research and having students guess cards, whether the square, a star, a wavy line, or a cross. And they could do that pretty well, but they always got worse. They always declined, and the ESP went away. So it's as though with this analytical card guessing, he was extinguishing ESP in the laboratory. In our work at Stanford Research Institute, we didn't do anything like that. We had people describing where another person was hiding. Or in our work with the government, we had to describe what it looked like where an airplane crashed, or what a Russian laboratory looked like, or how our hostages were doing in Iran. So we had very realistic events to describe involving people, and you could bite into it and describe your feeling and your experience with regard to what was going on at a distant place. And our people got better. So in the reality of ESP, in my new book, I have a couple of chapters describing how you can work with a partner and develop your psychic abilities. Because the contribution, the thing that's different about our work at Stanford is that our people got better over the years, whereas the people at Duke University guessing cards all got worse. So yes, we actually learned something.
I think that I deal with holistic remedies, techniques, and that's moved me into the more energetic side. And what I found is the more I concentrated to read an animal, the further away I got from the actual reality. So it's very interesting that you're saying this with your research. So is there, in your book, you go in and you are there trying to help people understand the validity of the psychic abilities that you were able to document?
Well, and I really have two parts. The book is called The Reality of ESP. So I'm saying that the proof for psychic ability is so strong that it would be statistically unreasonable to deny it. For example, people throughout the country are now taking aspirin to prevent heart attacks because the National Institutes of Health did an experiment and the statistics were so strong they stopped the experiment because they didn't want to deprive the control people of the aspirin. They say, we've proved that aspirin prevents heart attacks, and we're all now taking aspirin. The evidence for ESP in our laboratory, in our decade of work, our evidence is 10 times stronger than National Institutes of Health for aspirin. So that's what we mean by proof. NIH says, we've proved that aspirin should prevent heart attacks, and I want all of you people throughout America to start taking aspirin. And what I'm saying is that for whatever you believe, the evidence, the statistical evidence that we've published is 10 times stronger than what the National Institutes of Health had. So that's what we mean by the idea of proof. It's not mathematical proof. It's not like saying we've proved 1 plus 1 equals 2. But the evidence is so strong, it would just be unreasonable to deny it. Let me give you an example. In the 1970s, Patricia Hearst was kidnapped. She was the daughter of William Randolph Hearst, who published the San Francisco Examiner. And the young woman was kidnapped from her dormitory room at University of California in Berkeley. And the police had no idea where she was. She was kidnapped by a terrorist group called the Symbionese Liberation Army. And the police were so desperate that they called Stanford, because it was known we had an ESP program. They said, we have no idea where she is or what's going on. Can you help? We were working at that time with a psychic policeman named Pat Price, who was a police commissioner of the city of Burbank, California. And Price had been doing psychic things all of his life to catch criminals. And he came to work with us. And he said, oh, I can help with that. That's just the kind of thing that I do all the time. So my partner, Hal Putoff, another laser physicist, he and I and Pat Dreyfe drove to Berkeley and went into the police station, and Price, Commissioner Price, said, well, let me show you how we do this. Give me your mug book, which is the picture book with all the usual suspects in it. And they laid this big loose-leaf binder on a wooden table, and Price just stood there turning pages, looking at pictures, four pictures to a page, page after page, you turn the pictures, and then he put his finger on one guy and said, that's the ringleader. So he put his finger on Donald DeVries. Now that was a man that the police in Berkeley knew he had been in jail a year before and escaped from a minimum security prison. They said, yes, we know him, but we don't know what he's up to. Can you tell us anything useful? Like, where's the kidnap car? And he said, kidnap car that's about 50 miles north of here is parked in front of a diner on the right side of Highway 101, which is the main freeway. And you recognize it because it's across the freeway from two large white gas cylinders and the pedestrian overpass across the freeway. And one of the detectives there said, well, I know where that is. I live in Vallejo, north of here, and we can send a police car to see if it's there. 10 minutes later, we got a call back saying, we found the white station wagon, and we know it's the right one because there are cartridges rolling around on the floorboards of the car, and those cartridges match the cartridges that we found under Patricia's bed in her dormitory 2 hours before. So that's as close to magic as I've ever seen. As Pat Price did not have to go into a trance, did no hocus pocus. He said, oh, you want the car? He just stood there at the desk, closed his eyes, and said, pointed north and said, you go about 50 miles north and there it is. And they found the car. A week later, the guy he fingered, Donald DeVries, in fact, did come forward as the ringleader, and he said, we captured Patricia Hearst because she's heiress of a wealthy family, and we want that family to help feed the poor in Oakland. So that launched this long standoff about money and the heiress and what she's going to do. But Price had solved the whole case 10 minutes after walking to the police station. He told them where the car is, and he told them who the ringleader was.
Wow.
And
well,
that was one of the most convincing things that I've ever seen.
Well, stay tuned, folks, because you are listening to Esologic Radio, and we will be back with our guest to expand more on the understanding of how we can use our psychic abilities. You are listening to Esologic Radio, and our guest is Russell Targ, and he is the author of a really good read. It's called The Reality of ESP and a Physicist's Proof of Psychic Abilities. Russell, I'm really kind of curious because I do a lot of reading along the lines of a medical intuitive, and I was just wondering if there's a difference between basically reading a body and what you're describing as remote viewing. Is it the same type of technique?
I think that reading a body is a lot like remote viewing. I got interested in medical intuition because I had a medical intuitive living with me for a time, and she said her idea was that remote viewing is a lot like what she did for a living. And the first thing that I did being a scientist is I got the videotapes of the teaching company on anatomy and physiology, so that if I did remote viewing, I would have an idea of what I'm actually looking at. And I went through those 12 hours of videotapes, and then I was ready to have her show me what to do. And she came with three envelopes, each one with the name of a person in the envelope. And I would take an envelope so that she wouldn't know which one I was considering, because I didn't want to teach myself to read the mind of my teacher. So I had this envelope in my hand, and what I saw is that I had a woman who was looking kind of depressed, nice curly hair, and I could see nothing the matter with her. I scanned her body from top to bottom, except in her left shoulder, I saw, as a scientist, sort of electrical arcing and sparking. I saw something very unusual, quite different than what I'd expected to see. And I asked her, well, what do you think that could be in your experience? And she said, I have no idea. So that evening, she called her friend, lived in Florida. The friend was a professional tennis player who had had a shoulder separation and had a small metal plate put into her shoulder. And what we think I was seeing is the electrical activity between the plate and the muscle that it was put into. You have electrical current flowing when you put metal into your body. So that was the first thing that I ever saw. Another time, I just scanned from top to bottom. I again saw it was a woman. There was nothing the matter with her. She looked pretty good. But as I got to her pancreas, the pancreas was an unattractive orange color. Now, of course, it wasn't really orange, but in my psychic scan, I just saw something, and because of my studies, I recognized it was a pancreas, and indeed the woman had a diabetic condition. So my impression was that even a scientist can do medical intuition. That is, I found that surprisingly easy. It surprised me. And I had two friends who are medical intuitives. One is Judith Orloff. She's a psychiatrist and medical intuitive who lives in Los Angeles. She wrote a very nice book called Second Sight, dealing with medical intuition. And the other person is Mona Lisa Schultz. She's a physician who lives at Harvard University. And her book is called Awakening Intuition. And both of them agree that doing medical intuition is easier than doing remote viewing. So when I have workshops, I will frequently do a day-long workshop or a couple-day, a weekend workshop, and I will end with medical intuition. As each person will have a card from their partner, and they have to describe the health of the person on that card. And they love that. They find it makes a connection with the person they're working with and with the distant person. And describing the health of the distant person is much easier than describing the object in the bag or the picture in the envelope. The fact that you have a connection and a reason for trying to help the person makes it easier to be psychically in tune with them than describing my silly picture.
So when you're talking about reading either the medical intuitive or the remote viewing, we're basically working with the non-local mind, which is kind of like Carl Jung's concept of a huge conscious conglomerate of
collective
thought.
Unconscious.
Yes, that's the word I'm searching for. And so is this something that would be able to interfere with scientific research?
It doesn't interfere with psychic research. It's what makes... See, Emerson talked about the oversoul, and from the Buddhist times 2,000 years ago, they were aware that you could quiet your mind and do intuitive diagnosis as part of your spiritual development. They said, as you quiet your mind, you'll be able to do these psychic things. can see into the distance, see into the future, but don't let that become a stumbling block. Don't get wrapped up in the idea of being psychic. As you learn to quiet your mind, you'll notice that you're able to do these psychic things as a manifestation of who you are. But basically, you want to reside in this non-local space-time and be peaceful rather than showing off your psychic prowess.
Right.
Some people go off the deep end and are all excited about being psychic as though that's special. It's actually, in my workshop, almost everybody is able to either do something psychic or see something psychic. It's what I expect to see.
So when they're doing research, let's say on a drug research, what I'm stumbling over is the placebo effect. And I don't know if that has any relationship to your type of work or not.
Well, in the placebo effect, a person is able to heal themselves. And it has a big dependence on the doctor who's giving you the medicine. If the placebo effect, the placebo, the sugar pill, which in itself does nothing, but if the doctor says to some of his patients, we have a new painkiller here, and it's true, he's giving them codeine, and the codeine definitely will make them feel better, will make their toothache go away. On the other hand, the dentist can say, I have a new pill here which has none of the bad side effects that codeine. This is even better than codeine. I have very good experience with them. Try this. And that's a sugar pill. That will work just as well as codeine. So that one of the concerns now, as we understand, because you generate your own endorphins within your body. So concern now is that a dentist is a little bit like a doctor, a little bit like a hypnotist. You have the ability to heal yourself, generally. I mean, people do get better. And if it's possible, if a dentist can really give you a placebo with a degree of loving kindness and enthusiasm, and that's as good as giving you codeine, what that means is that if you go back to the National Institutes of Health and say, I want to show that codeine is a good drug, which we all think it is, and you've got an enthusiastic experimenter conducting the research, he will say, I'm not able to show any difference between codeine and a placebo, which would take codeine off the market.
Right. Well, right there, we're going to take a break, okay? We'll be right back with EsoLogic Radio. Stay tuned. So we are back talking about how ESP, our personal intent, and maybe things beyond ourselves in the non-local mind can actually influence how our bodies regenerate in a physical form. Russell, you were discussing the potential of the placebo effect and our mind's ability to drive our bodies. So how does this relate in our any research? Are you aware of any research that goes back to your remote viewers? Were they able to project into the future to see what was happening, or are they working with the present moment in the physical state?
Well, the most interesting thing that I know in my scientific career is that it's no more difficult to describe what's going to happen hours or days in the future than it is to describe where something is hidden. So although we did a lot of things for the government, finding downed airplanes, finding hostages, we also described things before they happened. And one of the things we were asked to do is to describe what was going to happen at some coordinates, latitude and longitude, 3 days in the future. And the great psychic Ingo Swann, who just passed away, sorry to say, Ingo is the one who taught us how to do remote viewing. Ingo came to the laboratory, and Ingo taught my colleague, Hal Putoff, and me how to do remote viewing. Hal and I then taught six Army intelligence officers at Fort Meade in Maryland. We taught them how to do remote viewing to create a psychic Army Corps. And as they retired, those Army officers created an international remote viewing organization and has now taught the world. So if you go to Google right now and search on remote viewing in quotation marks, you'll find more than 2.5 million pages dealing with remote viewing, what it is and how to find a teacher. So all of that was started by Ingo Swann, who was a great natural psychic and artist who came to our laboratory. But the thing that's most interesting is that we can indeed describe what's going to happen in the future. In fact, most people's first contact with psychic ability is a precognitive dream, where you go to sleep on a Tuesday night and you dream about some crazy thing outside of your normal experience that's very realistic, very bizarre looking. And you can tell your partner, I had this really crazy dream of an elephant walking down the street in front of my house and trampling the flowers. And you would agree that that indeed is a pretty unlikely, pretty bizarre thing. And your partner says, hey, look out the window there. I think that's an elephant coming right down the road toward our house. So what we would say is that the elephant you see in the morning was the cause of your dream earlier in the night. It's what a scientist calls retrocausality. So Wednesday morning, the elephant is the cause of the trigger for the night to dream, for the dream the night before. And there is very strong evidence for that kind of thing. The fact that we can see into the future. We did experiments like that, forecasting changes in the silver commodity market, where we did this for 9 weeks in a row. Each Monday morning, we would forecast whether silver will go up a little or up a lot or down a little or down a lot the following week. At the end of the week, we would get feedback as to what happened. And we're correct 9 weeks in a row. We did that correctly and made $120,000. We did that in the 1980s when $120,000 was a lot of money. And
so
of course,
are you saying that intent, if you're doing remote viewing, do you have the potential of influencing the future with your intent?
We don't think you're influencing the future. We think you're knowing the future. The way we did this experiment, as I mentioned earlier, it would be nice if you could read the big board at the commodity exchange and say, what's silver going to be on Friday? But people cannot actually do that. So what we did is something called associative remote viewing. We would have our broker down in Montgomery Street in San Francisco. Each Monday, he would find four different objects and call one of them up a little, up a lot, down a little, and down a lot. And I didn't know anything about the objects, but I knew that he would have four new objects each week. So I would interview my psychic partner, and I would say, well, we're going to put something interesting in your hand next Friday. I have no idea what it is. Can you tell me what you're experiencing with regard to what I'm going to put in your hand? That's what I always say. Tell me what you're experiencing. And he would say, I see something round, and it's kind of floppy, and it has a bad smell. Actually, this thing you're giving me is kind of disgusting. And I would say, thank you very much. That's a terrific description. There's no guessing involved, no naming. You're just describing your feelings. So I would call my broker and say, I think we have a very good description here of something. What are your four objects? And he said, well, if the market goes up a lot, I'll show you a champagne bottle. If it goes up a little, I'll show you a Dixie cup. If it goes down a little, I'll show you a book. If it goes down a little, I'm going to bring you my leftover pancake from breakfast. So I would say to him, well, John, I think the psychic described your leftover pancake because at the end of the week it will be truly disgusting. So based on the fact that my psychic described a pancake Monday morning, we would sell silver because that was the object for down a lot. So we put $20,000 short into the silver market based on my psychic's disgusting pancake. And we call that associative remote viewing. And we did that 9 weeks in a row. And that was part of a Nova film called The Case of ESP.
Wow.
That's very... We're on the front page. We made the front page of the Wall Street Journal with that.
Wow. So you're really not focusing... I have a problem with money on an energy level. So I'm not, if I don't focus on the money, but I focus on an associated relationship to money, then it is most probably easier for someone like myself to understand the dynamics around the subject of money. Correct?
Well, we completely separated the person's psychic task from the money. I gave him a very simple task. I'm going to put something in your hand on Friday. I'd like you to look forward to 4 days and tell me what you feel in your hand. And that's a completely doable task. And from his point of view and my point of view, it had nothing to do with money. It was just about what am I going to put in your hand. And that's a kind of trick we do to get rid of the concerns about is the market going up or down? Do I have enough money? What does it say on the commodity exchange board? It's just a very simple experiential feeling. What am I going to put in your hand? And many people have done that now. This organization called IRVA, International Remote Viewing Association, has meetings every year in Las Vegas where people come and talk about their various schemes to harness remote viewing to make money in sports betting, in the market, or doing other innovative things with their psychic abilities. So the whole little industry, and again, you can go to the internet at irva.org and see all these. And a lot of these are Army retirees who went from the Army Psychic Corps into using remote viewing for sometimes medical intuition, sometimes finding lost children, but a variety of different things, including sports betting and investing in the market. And all that.
Wow.
The important thing, the most interesting thing I know about ESP is that it's no harder to describe something you're going to see in the future than it is to describe the picture on the table.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to just take a
minute. The future is available.
We're going to take a minute here and go to a break, and we'll be back for the last part of Esologic Radio. Russell, before we go any further, would you like to share your contact information and your title?
The easiest way to reach me is my website, which is espresearch.com. And people can go to my website, see what I'm doing, learn something further about psychic abilities, and communicate with me if they wish to. And I generally respond to queries and notes that people send me. So that's, again, ESPResearch.com.
And where can they find your book?
They can find my book at bookstores and at Amazon. Amazon is the easiest place because it's available both as a paperback book and as a Kindle electronic publishing.
Very good, very good. So and I would encourage people to go to your website. You have an ESP.
And the book is called The Reality of ESP.
Sorry, yes. The book is really, I think, an amazing opportunity for people to learn more about how you approached your research and the application of the remote viewing. And then there's abilities to help learn, right?
Yes, about the science of psychic research and how to do it yourself.
Right.
How to get in touch with your own psychic abilities.
And I've been teaching
now for many years, so I really know how to help people get in touch with the part of themselves that's psychic.
When you go to Russell's website, he has a little ESP training download that you can do. Can you expand on that, Russell?
Yes, I have a free download for the Apple iPhone or the iPad. It's called ESP Trainer, and it's a four-choice ESP teaching machine that will give you feedback and reinforcement as you make a correct choice as to which of four colors the machine has chosen. And we use that for a NASA program, and people really do improve their ESP. The other thing that I wanted to tell you about, I know that, so I have all sorts of bona fides about going to Columbia and working at SRI, but the thing that will really convince you, I think, is my psychic cat, Mushroom. I had a beautiful long-haired cat that we had in our family for about 8 years, and this beloved cat started urinating on the children's clothes. She would just make a nest in clothes that were left on the floor, and had three kids, and from time to time she started peeing in the clothes. It was very unacceptable. And my wife, who was a nurse, tried all kinds of things to teach this cat to quit doing that. She would toss her outside where she would normally make her bathroom, or chase her with papers, or try and talk to her, and there's nothing we could do to get the cat to quit peeing on the clothes. So my wife decided that the cat just had to go, probably be put down at the vet, but we couldn't have her. You can't give a cat away. You can't tell your friend, I've got this beautiful, affectionate cat, except sometimes she's going to pee on your clothes. So we're going to get rid of Mushroom. And one day, on the day that we were taking her to the vet, my wife walked out and saw Mushroom, beautiful Angora cat, rocking in the sunshine on a rocking chair. My wife had this mental conversation with the cat. If you only knew how bad this thing was, then you would quit doing it, because you've been such a nice cat. And that was a conversation. And the five of us then sat down at breakfast, and we're having breakfast with our three kids, and we heard somebody urinating at a bathroom just around the corner, and we quickly saw that our family was here, and we sent one of our kids, who's in the bathroom? We couldn't imagine who came in. The child came back and said, it's Mushroom. She's sitting on the toilet seat, urinating in the toilet. and she then continued to do that for the rest of her life, and no one taught her to do that. It never crossed anybody's mind to teach the cat to pee in the toilet. I don't even know if it's possible to teach a cat to do that. But Mushroom figured out herself on the spot, if she didn't want to die, she's got to do something really creative, because simply going outside to pee wouldn't do it, because she does that occasionally. She would have to do something so remarkable and startling that we would change our plans, put away the carry box, and she lived with us for another 8 years.
Oh, that's
it's what Ego Swan calls you rise in the necessity level. You do what it takes to accomplish the task.
And a lot of us tend to tap into some pretty amazing abilities when we are put in difficult situations. And a lot of people think it's physiological, but sometimes I think it comes from basically your collective consciousness or a higher desire to move through the problem and learn. Is there any commercial applications or any military applications going on for remote viewing these days?
We don't think there's that's sort of a two-part question. There are commercial applications because people are still interested in using remote viewing for finding gas and oil and water and doing intuitive dowsing for where they should build a new factory. So the great psychic Joe McMonagall, who's in Virginia, he was the star of the Army program. He's still a psychic consultant helping people site their factories and find oil. So yes, indeed, people are using it for different applications. And during the Cold War, we were using it to check on our hostages in Iran and find a kidnapped army officer in Italy to describe a Soviet weapons factory in Soviet Siberia. We found we got a lot of celebration for finding a downed Russian bomber that had crashed in North Africa. And the CIA was very interested in finding that before the Russians did, because there's all sorts of information they could get from the bomber. And in fact, Joe McMonagall, great psychic, was able to close his eyes and say, I see a mountain range, and there's a river, and then there's a village, and then between the village and the river is where the airplane is. And he drew a little circle on the map, and they found the airplane in North Africa between the river and the village, right where he said to find it. And Jimmy Carter was so excited about that he actually described that whole thing together with the name of our classified program in a press conference. So he basically blew our secret cover, and we had to rename our program.
Well,
but a great psychic is able to reach out.
We're going to slip out of time here, Russell. So before we go, can you just review all the information you want people to know before we go off the air?
Well, you can find me, if you want, my website is ESPResearch.com, and my brand new book is called The Reality of ESP, A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Abilities, and my name is Russell Targ. So you can find me on Amazon to look at my book, or you can find me on my website to see what I'm up to at ESPResearch.com, and I'll look forward to corresponding with you.
Well, thank you so much. I really have enjoyed all of the information you've provided, and I encourage anybody who's interested in adventures, expanding themselves, or maybe moving into a new way of thinking to look up Russell's book and stay in touch, because this is Esologic Radio. And if you like what you've heard, send me an email at esologicradio@gmail.com. And like Russell, I'll get back to you, and it'll be a personal response, not somebody from a secretarial pool. Thank you, Russell. I hope you have
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm happy to chat with you.
All right. Bye for now. Hey, guys, this is Esologic Radio. Until next week, have a great day. Say, clear space for yourself, hold compassion in your heart, and make the world a better place for people to live. I'm going away. Have a good day. Bye.